Today on Real Life Radio.
He's numbered with the transgressors. The word numbered in Hebrew means that he's accounted in the class of, not the class of 63, the class of losers. You'll find me among the outcasts, the losers, the discarded, the broken, the people nobody wants. That's where you'll find me. Whoever this is in Isaiah 53, you'll find him numbered with the transgressors.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey friends, do you need help facing a crisis with confidence? What about understanding your emotions, dealing with depression? When you just can't take it anymore, does that sound familiar? Well, my friend Dr. Ed Heinsohn has written a book called Trusting God When Times Are Tough. This is a great book, much needed for times like these. Get a copy for yourself. You might want to get a copy for your friend. He covers so many wonderful topics that you and I deal with every day. And from a great theologian who's now with Jesus Christ, but before he went to see the Lord, he gave us a great life example and great books like this one. Get your own copy for yourself, Trusting God When Times Are Tough.
That's Trusting God When Times Are Tough by Dr. Ed Heinsohn. For a limited time, Real Life Ministries is offering this exceptional book as a thank you for your generous donation. Add Trusting God When Times Are Tough to your library by supporting Real Life today. Get it for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled The Christian's Strength in Difficult Days, Part 2. You know, the Gospel of Luke series is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus as only Luke the physician can. Here now, as we continue in chapter 22, we'll consider how to prepare for changes when they come. You see, just before his arrest, Jesus gave his disciples some practical advice as they head into dangerous times. God had already proven himself faithful, but he wants us to do the same. We need to understand that doing the Lord's work is going to take our willingness and our support. In other words, being faithful. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that in our anticipation of difficult events, Jesus reminds us, as he did his disciples, that he is our defender, our provider, protector, and our mediator between us and the Father. Now with his message called The Christian's Strength in Difficult Days, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You know what a transgressor is? Transgressor is like your little four-year-old. When you say, Susie, I don't want you to cross that line. She was having a fine day until you told her, don't cross that line. What line, Daddy? Right here. Don't go across over there. Daddy's going to work over here right now. Mommy's at camp. Don't cross the line because I got to watch out for you, okay? This line, Daddy? Yeah, look, there's three other lines all around this yard. Don't cross this line. Just this one. You got three to, you can go run all over those other lines. Don't cross this line. Okay, honey? You mean this line here? Huh? Right? You ever had a little kid? And you don't want me to cross this line. Huh? Right here? You know what's going on, you guys? It's a massive, amazing battle of authority. What that little kid is saying is, I know you're 225 and 6'3", but I'm 27 pounds, and when I walk, I sound like plastic moving. And I can poop in my pants still anytime I want. And I'm telling you right now, you're not man enough to enforce that rule you just laid right there. Because you tell your little kid no, and they go just like this. You ever seen them do that? Raising kids is awesome. You see yourself, you look like that, and you have to bite your lip because you want to laugh. But you know if you're going to raise a citizen in the world that you got to do this right. God told Adam and Eve, you can go have a ball. Mess around, have a great time. You guys can do anything. Play with the animals, swim, have sex outside. You can do anything you want. What are you laughing about? Where else did they have sex? Are you guys crazy or what? But don't touch the fruit of that tree. What, this one? You mean this one right here? Isn't that amazing? Is that not in us? That's called transgression. Oh yeah? What are you gonna do about it? The Bible says, book of Isaiah, that the Messiah, we're gonna see this is the Messiah. Not only is the promised Messiah to deliver Israel and the world from political shenanigans, but the Messiah has to deliver the world from its bondage to sin, even transgression. There's nobody in this room today that has sinned so far that God cannot rescue you today. You have not gone that far. You think you have. You have not. Because my friend, my Bible says, book of Isaiah, that he, verse 12, will sacrifice someone. Someone will be sacrificed righteous enough to be the sacrifice that appeases the judgment of God, satisfies the Lord, and winds up being the salvation of mankind. Whoever he is, he's hated in the world. Isn't that weird? And because he's hated in the world, his people are hated in the world, I might add. Isn't it amazing? It's spiritual. It's a spiritual issue. Jesus quotes the verse. You can't get away from it. This is archaeological fact. There are 13,000 manuscripts backing up this declaration of statement. 600 documents of Homer. 13,500 of Jesus making this statement. He's numbered with the transgressors. The word numbered in Hebrew means that he's accounted in the class of, not the class of 63, the class of losers. You'll find me among the outcasts, the losers, the discarded, the broken, the people nobody wants. That's where you'll find me. Whoever this is in Isaiah 53, you'll find him numbered with the transgressors. This is awesome. How could holy God meet unholy man? I'll tell you, mark it down. I'll just quote it. You write it down. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God among us. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, behold, a child is born, a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and the increase of the nations and their governments shall be upon his shoulders. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the prophet Micah announced that he will come forth eternal, never having a beginning nor an end. Out of Bethlehem of Judea, he shall be born or come forth. Who in the world, pray tell, has a rumor going on about them who was born in Bethlehem, whose rumor is that he was born of a woman and not having a man's intervention, rumor, and because of that, he's been blasphemed, and he's eternal, and he's going to be born in Bethlehem, mocked and ridiculed and rejected. By the way, his name is the chief cuss word in the entire world to this hour. When people want to cuss, they'll use his name. I have never seen somebody pick up a hammer and whack their hand with it and say, Mohammed, that hurt. Not once. Buddha, that burns. Nope, but what's the name they use when they whack their hand in the door? He was rejected and despised of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Wow. Oh, it gets better. Listen, now look. Philippians chapter 2. Paul writes to this bunch of Gentiles in Philippians, in Philippi chapter 2, verse 6. He says, who he, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Are you guys okay? Yes. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him, listen, this sounds just like Isaiah. For he made him who knew no sin, that's Isaiah 53, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's awesome. Which leads us to this. He's our sacrifice. Whoever this is our sacrifice. Jesus is saying, guys, everybody in that upper room, they knew the Jewish scriptures. They knew Genesis to Malachi. Guys, I tell you this, everything written will be fulfilled. He says that to them, and then he says, he will be numbered with the transgressors. And then Jesus says, it's going to happen. In the matter of hours, Jesus is going to be arrested, scripture fulfilled, and nailed to a cross. I wonder what those guys were thinking. They were good students of the word. They would have remembered Isaiah's prophecy. They probably had it memorized. You say, well, Jack, that's a tall statement you made. You mean you're insinuating that Christ is the atonement? That's exactly what I'm saying. Based upon what? Based upon Isaiah 53:12, where it goes on to say, and he bore the sin of many. The word is to carry a weight, a load alone. You want to know why people are doing drugs? You want to know why people are alcoholics? It's easy for us to pull our tongue out and judge them or make fun of them or say, man, that guy's messed up. Wait a minute, just slow down a minute. Why is he messed up? Oh, you know what, man? She can't function. She can't function without her crack. She can't function without her cocaine. Okay, so what? Why? What are you hiding behind? You try to create a break. You go after the drugs and the alcohol or the whatever. You're trying to find a void in your life. Why can't you be faithful to one man? What's your problem? Oh man, you know what? She's so loose. Wait a minute. Why? There is a why. And there's a question to answer. This is a life that's been scarred. It's a life that's been ripped. It's a life that's hurting. See, listen, we can be very much like Pharisees. We can fold our arms and say, well, you know what? And we pass judgment and it's over. And we move on to the game. Oh, you know what? She's just a whore. Let's just move on. What? That's a life that, according to Isaiah, whoever this is cares about. Well, are they circumcised or uncircumcised? I had somebody ask me that in Israel. I was quoting Bible, quoting the Old Testament. The guy would say, are you circumcised or uncircumcised? So, well, why? Because you know your scripture. You know the scripture. And I said, well, my father's name is actually Abraham. So you're circumcised. I didn't say I was circumcised. I said my father's name was Abraham. Are you Jewish? I said, my father's name is Abraham. Where were you born? San Diego. My mom's Portuguese. My dad's German. Oh, German, Jew. You are Jewish. I said, listen, in here, I'm Jewish. But have you been circumcised? That's what he asked me. I said, yes, I am. I am. And the most important place is in the heart. The deadness of unbelief has been circumcised from my heart. And the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's my God. Are you Jewish then? I said, no, the truth is I'm not Jewish, but the God I worship is. That may offend some people, but I got to tell you something. According to the prophet Isaiah, I'm one of those Gentiles that Isaiah said, the nations, those from other nations will come and worship him. Hello, that'd be me. And that'd probably be a lot of you, because there's no limit to what Christ did at the cross, fulfilling Isaiah, not only fulfilling Micah, Isaiah, what about Psalm 22? They pierced my hands and my feet, and the Gentiles circled me and looked upon me. The bulls of Bashan have encompassed me. Crucifixion had yet 1,000 more years before it was going to be discovered. When David said that, Psalm 22. What about Solomon? Well, what about Solomon? Solomon said in Proverbs 30, verse 4, who has ascended into the heavens and who has descended and who holds the wind and the seas and everything in his hands? What's his name and what is the name of his son, if you can tell me? I know. Oh, oh. I can tell you. Jesus is saying, guys, this is it. He presented himself, church, to the world.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Before we go to that last and final point, I want to give you this scripture. It's Colossians 2:14. It's a great verse to know. It's a great verse to memorize and to have. Colossians 2:14, the scripture says that he was taken. He has taken our sin out of the way by nailing it to his cross. So remember, we were talking about the girl or the guy, the adulterer or the liar or the thief or whatever. Imagine Jesus on the cross. He's done nothing wrong. And your proud thinking, your arrogant thoughts, write it on a piece of paper and staple it to his knuckle right here, pinky, staple it there. Adultery, staple that by his elbow. Murder, staple that next to his right cheek. Violence, hatred, jealousy, envy, wrath, strife, divisions, just nail it to him. Not the cross. Not the cross. It's just wood. Who cares about that? It's what's on the cross. John the Baptist said to his nation, John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Adultery, hatred, whatever. What's burdening your life? He bore the sin of many. Why are you still trying to carry it? Get to him quick. Religion's not going to do it. It'd just leave you empty. Get to him. He presents himself to us. Okay, we're almost done. You ready? Jeremiah 31:31. Jeremiah 31:31, written in 627 BC. Jeremiah the prophet. This guy had it rough, man. At least Isaiah, for a while, grew up in an incredible palace with the king. Jeremiah was called by the Lord as a kid. He was like 17 years old. God calls Jeremiah, "I'm going to send you to my people." Okay, that's awesome. "I'm going to make you a prophet." Wow. "I'm going to put my words in your mouth." Okay. "Don't be afraid of them." "Well, I won't." "Well, I forgot to tell you, they're not going to listen to a word you say. They're going to harden their ears against the message that you're going to give them." That's too bad. But not for long. God's not done with Israel. Jeremiah 31:31, listen to this. Are you guys sitting down? You're going to freak out. "Behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, when I will make a" what? Why? What do you need a new one for? "I will make a new covenant with the house of" who? And with the house of who? Verse 32, "not according to the covenant," not according to the covenant "that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, saith the Lord." Covenant? When did God take Israel out of Egypt in the wilderness and give them a covenant? When he took them out of Egypt and led them to the wilderness, he gave them the covenant. The Old Testament. If God himself tells Jeremiah, the old is only going to last for a while. There's a day coming, I'm going to do a new covenant. Have you been following? Have you been with us each week going through the book of Luke? Didn't Jesus just say a couple of weeks ago, "This is the new covenant that is in my blood"? Wow. Let's go on in Jeremiah. Verse 33. "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days." Notice he didn't say Judah. Because in the last days, when this, and it's starting to happen now, it's not When you fly into Israel, you don't fly into Israel and Judah. You go to Israel. May 14th, 1948, you fly into Israel. It's not divided. In those days, I'll make this covenant with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The restoration of the nation of Israel. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, 37, 38, and 39, that would happen first of all physically in a real nation in unbelief. And then God would begin to open their eyes after they return home. Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 11. That from all the nations of the world, they would open up their gates and my people will come back home. And I will establish them in their land and I shall place them in their land once again. God said that. You say, what's the big deal? The big deal is if God doesn't keep his promise to Israel, then you, I don't care who you are, you don't have any promises at all. God says, my covenant with Israel is forever. Jesus says to those precious Jewish men in that little room, he says, listen, I'm gonna give you a code word. He's numbered with the transgressors. Translation, when you see me nailed between those two losers, okay, that's where I belong. Excuse me? Yeah, that's where I belong. You wanna find me? Jesus would ask today, you wanna find me? You'll find me among the losers. You'll find me among that girl that's drawn that line of cocaine. She's lost, she's hurting. She's trying to find a feeling in her life. She's trying to find something to fill her life. She's broken. That guy that just sits there and listens to solid, blazing, blaring rock music, what's he doing? He's not insane. He's lost. He's trying to find his way home. We need Christ. Read the Bible from cover to cover. You're gonna find a radical thing. Jesus is announcing that he has come from heaven to earth to die in our place because no man could be found, think about it, no man could be found good enough to die for the sins of the world. There is no such man. Emmanuel, God came down and put on a human suit. That shouldn't shock us. He met up with Abraham a long time ago above the hills of Sodom and Gomorrah, talked with him there. Joshua pulls up with his chariot and says, who are you? Are you for us or for the bad guys? And he said, I'm the captain of the Lord's host. And Joshua took his sandals off and fell on his face because it says there that he was standing before or on holy ground. When Moses said, who do I tell the children of Israel sent me? Exodus chapter 3, 15. Who do I tell them sent me? God says, you tell them this. You tell them I am that I am sent you. The eternal, self-contained, forever existing one. Jesus answers his attackers in John's gospel, chapter 8. And he says, they said, we're of Father Abraham. And Jesus says, if you were of Abraham, you'd believe in me. I tell you, before Abraham ever existed, ego eimi, in Greek, I am. The same word used in Exodus 3, 15. This same one says, you'll find me where the lost people are. Don't you love it? Do you get it? Man, if you don't get it, man, I'll punch you. I'll sit on your head. I'll bend your arm. I'm not asking you to join this church. Don't even come back. You don't have to come back. I don't care about that. God, listen, God started this mess. He can take care of this mess. But let me tell you something right now. You got to get this. What are you going to do without him? Don't follow some man. Behold, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, says the scripture. Man, you are so loved, you have no idea. You're incredibly loved.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called The Christian's Strength in Difficult Days, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this lesson is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, no matter what you're facing these days, God is there in the bad times as well as the good times. But when life suddenly takes a turn for the worst, you know God's there, but you still might be wondering if He really cares. We get this idea stuck in our heads that God has more important things to do than to help us with our problems. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. We can rest in God's strength, and He's always nearer to us than we'll ever know. So if that sounds like you, our current featured resource is going to help and encourage you to gain a new outlook on life. It's called Trusting God When Times Are Tough. It's written by Ed Heinzen. It's a resource packed with biblical truths on how to face a crisis with confidence and turn problems into opportunities. Trusting God When Times Are Tough. It's a must-read if you want to conquer your anxiety, your disappointment, or even feelings of guilt and failure. And we've made this book available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.